Greetings and welcome to The Thirsty Mage, the podcast that loves a spot of nectar in the morning. I'm your host, Jordan Rudek, and I'm just glad to be following up an episode where I was filled with rage with one about a game that fills me with joy. Potentially get that special kind of game of the year joy. That's right, we're talking about Miyamoto's long-teased Pikmin 4. Joining me tonight is an individual who paid absolutely no mind to how many Pikmin casualties occurred during her playthrough. It's Paige Chamberlain.
So you're saying Pikmin 4 sparkliums joy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, any game was going to spark joy after Lost Sphere, but Pikmin 4 in particular, for sure. Yeah, it was a very, very good time.
I have paid attention to the casualties once when I lost all the Pikmin.
Yeah.
Fine. Then I tapped rewind.
When the game like stops you, it's like, oh, you lost all of this type. You're forced to start over again. Like in the caverns, I guess, when it does that. That's what I was noticing in a bit. But
it's like, well, it'll be like all red Pikmin, and then if you just got another one, you can still choose to like go.
You can soldier on, yeah, exactly. Maybe I'm just projecting a little bit because I definitely did not really care about how many casualties occurred. When the first game, I did care about the number a little bit more, just knowing it's a little bit smaller, more contained. I mean, but this game, I didn't really.
I care about the ones that I don't have the onion for.
Oh, yes.
You know, like, because we'll get into it, but you know, some of them are like from the cave, so it's like I could only get them from the cave, so literally, like, redo caves some days to try.
Oh yeah, no, totally.
And then at one time I actually had to go in a cave about three times because I kept accidentally bringing in the max number of Pikmin,
right?
Which meant that like no fresh ones would be there, like just
you
the
can't
wild
expand
ones.
Yeah,
no.
The one of the last challenges in the post game is picking up an item that has a weight of like 1,000, and even if you have Ochi able to carry 100, you still need 900 Pikmin power to carry it. So I kept going into one of these caverns in the very end of the game to just recruit tons and tons of purple Pikmin because each one can carry 10. So I needed to have like 90 of those just to get this final object in the game. I guess would end up being like the last treasure I picked up was this one. So yes, I did have to do some of that cave repeated diving in to get more purple
with
ones.
With the watermelon, and then I realized I'd leveled up Ochi, so I didn't need to.
Oh yeah. Well, once you level up Ochi, he's just so useful. But, and we'll talk more about him in a little bit.
Yeah, casualty wise, it was so annoying. Like, be like, you've lost Pikmin. And it's like, you guys aren't even here. You are watching me through like a video screen. Come here and do it yourself if you can do such a better job than like.
Yeah. It's like, don't worry, I can get more. There's plenty more where that came from. Especially when you get all the onions, or even more so when you get all the onions. What about, so I want to start, obviously, you know, where we usually do with kind of general impressions. Like, how much time did you spend playing the game? What did you think of it? Like, you know, how does it rank up or stack up against maybe other games this year? What do you think, Paige?
Well, I meant to, like, finish it for this podcast, but I got distracted by other things I picked up and not been able to play much this week. But, because, you know, it does, like, a lot of people call it sort of post-game, and then because it does sort of this really weird fake out credits thing like three quarters through the game. And normally in a Nintendo game they do that after like the first level, like, you know, it was like Kirby Star Allies, you beat Jiddity, and then it was like a fake credits, and then Captain Toad the first like world, and then you got a fake credits. This was like we did it like, you know, after we'd resolved what we knew so far, and then it did the credits, and I was like, oh, what about all these people I hadn't cured yet?
Yeah, exactly.
And then like there's more areas, and I've gotten a bit into that other area, but it was just a weird place to put that. But I'm only a bit into like that sort of campground area.
Yeah, right.
Just because I want to avoid the Dendori battles.
I think that it's probably, yeah, I kind of felt the same way. I think it's worth stating up early on here. We probably will drop some spoilers in here. So if you're a little bit more spoiler averse, or you've maybe not started Pikmin 4 at all and you want to go in fresh, this is probably not the episode for you. I think early on we did an impressions episode talking about the demo. Maybe go back to that one. But here we're kind of going to be talking about, I think, a lot of some of the things that come up in the post game, most of the stuff that comes up in the main part of the game, like you mentioned, the kind of fake out credits, stuff like that. So, Yeah, I ended up going through the entire thing, basically 100%ing it. There's only one kind of small challenge that I haven't done, but I've collected basically all the treasures, opened up all the areas, got the good, quote unquote, good ending, I guess. Did the kind of extra Olimar missions that show up, which are pretty fun. And I think my overwhelming impression is just this is a massive game compared to the first three.
Yeah.
There's just so much to do. And I spent dozens of hours doing it and just had a great time through all of it. But the goal or the pursuit of getting 100% in every stage, like I kind of was trying to do that before I would move on to the next one. Had such a ball doing all of that. It really, I'm surprised by how much I like this game. I was excited about it a little bit more so after playing the demo, but I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did. And this is probably one of my top three or at least top five games of 2023 in a very crowded year.
No, I was expecting to like it even like before the demo, but obviously that helped with things I wasn't sure about, like the Dendori battles and Ochi. The only disappointment I would say I have with the game is the co-op, because in Deluxe they added split-screen co-op, and I played through that with my husband, and he was very, well, we both were, but him especially, were very disappointed to find out that that was not the case for Pikmin 4. Instead you have a Mario Galaxy-esque thing where it's just, you can shoot pebbles. Like, that's, it's like, it's for like if a kid's playing with you, it's not for, like, you know, it's like, you can be my helper.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's the, you know, little brother or little sister. You take the controller and do something, you know, as if the controller's not even plugged in. It's so kind of, you know.
Although I can imagine them actually making it hard for you if they decide to shoot something you weren't ready to fight.
Oh, yes. That is absolutely, that has happened. I was playing with my son, who's six, and he's really getting into Pikmin 3 and 4. We've been playing the mission mode in 3, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that the Pikmin 3 co-op is really good, actually. And it's nice that, you know, I never ended up trying that on Wii, but now in Pikmin 3 Deluxe on Switch, I have had a chance to play that with him, so that's been fun. But yeah, then you go to Pikmin 4 and it's just like, yeah, you're just literally one person's like a cursor throwing rocks at things. And it's very dry. I let him like do the actual Pikmin stuff and I was just throwing the rocks, and it's not very engaging at all. So we've spent more time even since Pikmin 4 coming out. When we play together, we're playing the third game. And so we have enjoyed that. So I agree with you there. The co-op is definitely lacking in Pikmin 4. It feels like kind of an afterthought, you know?
Yeah, that's like, I would say, my only particular complaint I can think of, although I feel like I haven't played the game for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Talking to you, most of it's come back, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, why did they add the split screen to 3 Deluxe if they clearly, like, had their ideas for Pikmin 4, and then we're just like, no. Especially, yeah. Ochi is basically another captain. And, like, there's certain points where, you know, he'd be less out of control because the spits would have to split up or whatever. But that's still probably more interesting than shooting pebbles.
Yeah, or the fact that, like, you create your own character, so it's not like it really matters, like, that you have these specific characters to use, and there's only one or two or three of them. Like, you could just have a co-op partner, like, make their own, like, Space Ranger-type person, or Control Ochi or whatever. There are things that you could do to make it work, but... Yeah, that is, it's an unfortunate, probably the most unfortunate part of a really, really good game. It's just that the co-op isn't very, very exciting. So why don't we get into the premise or the story of the game a little bit? Paige, do you want to start us off there? How does the game begin? Like, what are the characters trying to do here?
We actually start off, which we feel like the demo was sort of the start of the game, so it was really weird. Everyone wasn't expecting you to start with Olimar,
and he's
already got the dog Moss, and is talking about having crash landed, and you've come inside a house, which you've never done in any of the Pikmin games before, like the. It's always been, obviously, Earth, and there's been things from human life, but an active house that looks pretty clean and, you know, has all this stuff going on is quite a big step.
Mm-hmm. And there's always been a bit of a separation between like the human world and the human environments, and then the kind of more natural or set in nature environments of the other games.
Yeah, it was just it's just a lot more. Aside from like some of the extra missions, like picking through like the Christmas one, obviously. You know, this is like a story wise one. And then all the people get sort of scared off, so you just like learn the controls via him. And he's talking about how he, so it's like him, and that just sort of skips over, and then you find out like you make a character because you found out that Olimar has sent out a distress signal, and so the rescue squad has gone to rescue him, and they have also crash landed. So you go to rescue the rescue squad and Olimar. And it's very funny because like you're one of the few pilots that hasn't crashed the first time. I think maybe the only pilot in the series that didn't crash the first time they've come to this planet. Because like, you know, technically I think Olimar's done one or two non-crash landings in the series, but not the first, you know. So technically you're the best driver in the series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's basically the main gist, is that there's this mysterious foreign planet and you're trying to find your crewmates to then find Olimar. That's when you first come into contact with Pikmin yourself. And like they learn about them. They kept one thing's like, never really played Hey Pikmin, but I think Sparklium was from Hey Pikmin.
Okay.
So now, I don't know if that's canon as well, where it's like, because in previous games, it was the first game you need to find ship parts. The second game, you're getting there for money, so you're literally just picking up treasure. The third game, it was juice because you needed to eat and you're trying to find food for your home planet. This one, it's treasure and fruit or whatever, and it converts into energy called Sparklium.
Right.
And then we use that for fuel.
And I guess finding the characters and other people that have been stranded on the planet as well.
Yeah, then that's when you, well, within the first proper area you go to, you find that there's actually a lot more people that need rescuing because other people saw the distress signal and thought they were going to make an opportunity of this uncharted planet.
I like that there's this hub area where kind of all the people congregate that you rescue, and then all the people that are kind of part of the rescue core, they're all there, and they have, you know, missions for you and things you can do with them. It's a little bit more talky than other Pikmin games, sure, but I don't think that's a bad thing, right? I think that it's a kind of having these individual stories or individual missions to take on does make it a little bit more interesting, I think. I like all the upgrades and things you can purchase, all the kind of bonuses and stuff, like the armor or the abilities for Ochi that you can buy.
I think when some of us saw like the upgrade stuff, we're like, oh, it's Pikmin for an RPG. You know, you've got not levels, but Ochi himself has personal skills that you level up and then they'll be able to be more effective. So, and that's really important to rescue people because that's actually how you'll be able to level up and increase like his carrying capacity, just resistance to certain things. And the gear thing, I definitely used a lot of that, and then there'll be the problem because it uses the raw materials, and then I'd be like, I need to build a bridge and spend all my points on gear.
It wasn't until like very late in my playthrough that I started using the that berry juice, the red berries that kind of make the Pikmin go crazy and make them go like hyper speed. Like it's so useful, actually.
Yeah.
Really, really useful. I needed that to get through some of the later game spots. I don't know if I was able to use it in nighttime mode. I might have been using it there too, but just you know, fighting some of the end game bosses where, you know, the number of Pikmin, you know, you have to kind of maintain it and you really want to cut down on casualties. Like I was relying on the items a fair bit.
I think the rewind mode doesn't matter as much, but I did like that the hub area has some pellets. So like if you completely lost all your Pikmin, you can start, you can start again at least.
I think every time I was there, I would have Ochi like pick up like, you know, whatever pellets for like the new colors or new onions I'd got. Like if I got the stone one or the rock Pikmin, I'd go and pick up a few black ones just to expand that number. It just felt good to always have like 100 or 200 of whatever Pikmin you had onions for at the time.
Yeah, I completely lost what I talked about before I talked about the hub. This items and stuff, I thought it was, I didn't realize because I only bought, for example, I bought like the torch one before I went to a dark area, so I didn't notice the actual difference it made because I'd already.
Yeah, me too. I bought that very early.
But I didn't realize stuff like the anti-flame, anti-electricity sort of stacked. I thought it was like, oh, I'm going to have to click and swap out.
Yeah, like, you can kind of just have everything on you and Ochi, right? So make you almost impervious to damage sometimes.
Well, based on what I've heard about some of the post-game stuff, it sounds like you kind of need fully upgraded everything.
I think so. Again, I had all that by that time, so I didn't really notice or I didn't really know what the difference would be if I didn't have it. Like, yeah, maybe it would be very taxing, but I bought all the upgrades at that point because I was being so meticulous in playing the game. So I didn't encounter any extra difficulty of not having something because as soon as I had like enough of the crafting materials to buy the items from the science lab guy, I would just go and do that. Or as soon as I had like rescuing people, I do the night missions pretty regularly to get more of the Ochi points to spend to upgrade him too. So yeah, I just kind of kept up with the upgrading quite rigorously, and so I never really knew what it would be to not have those.
I think we'll talk about the night missions in a sec, but my favorite thing about that is you have to do the night missions to find the cure for these leaflings. So this is people who have just been, have leaves on their head and just like completely fuzzy. So you do that for a few people. And when there's one that's clearly an important story character, like they take priority in the queue. So if I've got like four people stacked, somebody else gets cured instead. It's really funny. Because I thought, oh man, I'm going to have to do it, like, which is good, because like, I'm like, I'm going to have to do like five night missions to fix it. I was like, no, they just get priority, which is, like, he's got the better health insurance, I guess.
That's just right. Yeah, they see his name tag, or something, go, that's one of our guys, we better save him first, save the meds for him.
You can't read the name tags, because he keeps trying, and it never comes up.
No, that's true, they don't know who it is, but somehow there's some sense of, well, this like, person's got to be a VIP, right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about the night mission. Sure. I think I know some people, Matt Zwodniak, who reviewed the game for us, and the night missions were kind of a low point for him. I didn't mind them. I thought they were so quick, and kind of change of pace that it was, I found them a nice kind of little departure from the normal gameplay of having to collect all these things, like doing a little bit more combat or tower defense kind of style. I thought it was, if they were longer, or if there were so many more of them, maybe I would have been frustrated by them. But there's not that many, and the fact that the mechanics change up a little bit, harvesting all the glow Pikmin as quickly as you can, the fact that they teleport back to you, I thought the gameplay there is pretty snappy. So while I wouldn't call it my highlight of Pikmin 4, I didn't really have a major problem with that. I thought it was fine.
I guess it wasn't what I was expecting when they showed off like nighttime and the creatures getting red eyes and stuff. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting. I just expected an intense hard mode or something. And for the most part, you like bare minimum, you probably only have to do like maybe two or so if you really don't want it to. If you don't care about the other people rescuing them, you can probably get through with it. And yeah, I hadn't done a lot of them. I do like in the early ones. I actually finished it like slightly early because I'd have killed all the enemies off.
Yeah, I did that too. Yes.
It gets a bit harder when they've got those spawning grub bits though, because I'd be like, well, I've got everyone. And then it's like, oh, they're coming out of this hole in the ground.
The tough ones later are the ones where you have to fight like those, the really tall creatures, right? The one with like the stilt kind of legs. That one's really tough. You just have to use that super ability.
Long legs in one of the missions. Like I think some people said some of the late ones or whatever get really tough.
Especially if you have two of the bases to defend as well. It's even more tricky. I like that if you collect a lot of glow Pikmin, you get more glow seeds to use in the regular mode, right? So that was nice. I had a ton of those and I really needed them for some of those, again, some of the later game or post game dungeons that have multiple floors. Having the glow Pikmin, being able to sacrifice them as opposed to the colored ones that I needed was really helpful too. Like I would sacrifice glow Pikmin to preserve like my reds or my purples or my whites.
I know, it's just the way he's saving the colored ones.
There a better way? I can understand why that would be funny. I don't know a better way to express that. The glow Pikmin are not a color, like they are a separate entity or something like that. They're ethereal, like see through beings. I don't know, like they're don't have all the real characteristics of Pikmin.
The new Pikmin designs are probably my least favorite.
Sure.
I'd, I like that they're basically based on like the Kadama or whatever, the Japanese forest spirits. And it's like when you watch or play enough Japanese games, you just like pick up on this and you're like, oh, this is based on like a one of their little fairy spirit type things.
What are the new ones in this game? It's ice and
the glow.
Yeah. Well, those are the two new ones, right?
Yeah, and okay. Ice. I don't like how they look. They just look like everyone thought they were going to replace the rock Pikmin because they literally just look like a rock Pikmin.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't really think too much about their aesthetics or how they looked, but they are pretty useful for fighting some of the bigger enemies early on, yeah. Right? Because you get ice Pikmin quite early, and using them to like freeze some of the bosses or freeze some of the tougher foes. Very, very helpful, right? You almost kind of need that to get through. At least I found that.
But yeah, just design-wise, I don't like it. And I don't play Pikmin 2 really much at all. So like actually getting to play with the purple and the white Pikmin was nice because in 3, they were just in the mission mode, extras only. Mm-hmm. So
I think 2 I haven't played at all. So this would be my first exposure to purple and white. I like the purple ones. I think they're funny when they come out. They do the little stomp attack. Like I just think it's kind of charming, you know?
Yeah, it's... I know a lot of people have said this is, like, comparable to Pikmin 2. Mm. And, like, one of the main things is the caves.
Yes, because,
except I think in 2 people said they were, like, semi-randomized. Like, not fully.
But that's my understanding, yeah.
They weren't, like, quite... Because like the new ones where it's clearly that it's meant to have this boss and some of these enemies, but the layout might not be the same, I think.
Sure, that sounds right.
But yeah, in 2 it's just they're handcrafted. And it's really funny because you're going underground, but like then you're in an aquarium touching pond.
Yeah, right,
or like
right.
The inside of a toy land or something.
Yeah, some of those ones were funny. Like how did we get here just from this cave, this looks like a warp pipe, almost like a blue warp pipe or something like that.
They're like drain things or something because there's someone who's trying to like buy all of the treasures in the game and collect them, and so they like had to buy like a 10 or 100 pack because it's the kind of thing you don't just buy one.
No, absolutely not.
But
did
I
you like the caves? Like, how did you find that gameplay? Yeah,
I love the caves.
Okay,
one of them has my favorite boss in the game. Which was the I think the cave name is Underground Disco Thief or something.
Oh yes, I know, yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And I probably have to talk about that one, of that boss. So that's a spoiler for one of the cave bosses. It's the Groovy Long Legs, which there's a lot of long legs enemies in previous games, but this one is like the kind of disc, the like electronic disco balls you buy. It's like not the glitter one, but like the one with the purple and red. That lights.
Yeah,
And it's, I'm glad, I was like waiting for after I found it for people to upload like the soundtrack of it or something somehow, because it'll sort of change because it changes phases. So when it's like red, it's gone really fast, things like that.
Mm-hmm. That was a cool fight for sure.
It wasn't too hard, like because again, I read the stuff at the start of the cave, so I didn't let too many Pikmin get caught in the endless dance drugs or something. Like they got powdered and they were stuck dancing. So it was mostly I just got squished a bit because of the changing speeds. But that's definitely my favorite boss. And I just love the caves. I haven't used the glow Pikmin too much. I think I'm just saving them just in case, you know. And
it's good. You're at a point where it is good to save them. I had like over 80 or 90 before I started using them.
Yeah. And then the caves is the only place where the enemies come back, because that's really weird. That's, I guess, one more other point. It's like on the overworld, it's like you defeat enemies and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think in Pikmin 1, it was about 3 days or whatever that they'd start coming back.
I think it's the same thing here as well. Or if you don't harvest them, they come back. If you kill them but don't bring them back to your ship, I think they come back in 3 days, something like that.
No. So in the caves, if you 100% in the cave, then the all the monsters and stuff will come back.
Right,
but
okay.
But in the main areas, like, no. Like, you come back to that area, like, 20 days later, it's just empty.
Like, even if you don't harvest them?
If you harvest them, the bodies will stay there, yeah.
For 20 days?
I think so. I don't know. I don't...
Maybe you're right. I thought I read that they will come back to life if you don't bring them back to your ship.
Maybe if you don't bring them back, that would make a bit more sense. But like, if you've killed them and cleared it up, then it's just very empty giant area. But yeah, caves wise, I love all the different. I love the aquarium designs the most. I think they were kind of fun.
Yeah, they were.
I had a bit more of a trouble trying to like manage the blue Pikmin underwater while Uchi's with the other ones above water and accidentally getting something.
Yeah, splitting them up I found a little bit tricky. Like, I'd want to just have, like, all of one type or something as much as I could just to make that easier. One
thing I didn't like was that, because you've got Ochi's charge, right? But then I also want to charge a single type of Pikmin. So I have to get off Ochi just to charge a singular type of Pikmin.
Yes, sure, exactly.
One of my minor gripes.
yeah, same here.
The co-op, that, and whatever the other thing I complained about was that I've already forgotten. But
I think for the caves, I didn't like them as much as I like just the more open environments. Like, if I saw a cave, I kind of leave them to the end usually. Like, I try to find everything that I could, and then I would come back to the caves at the end when I wanted to go for 100%, which it would be, you know, before I moved on to an area, I did try to get 100% if I could. And if I felt like I was really stuck, maybe I'd go to the next one to get more of a certain type or to unlock a different onion or something like that. But I did generally leave the caves to the end. And they're fine. I felt like some of the ones that had like four or five floors, I just found it a little bit much. You know, I liked the shorter ones or I liked the ones with like a big individual area, one or two or three, and a little bit bigger, that's fine. But when I got to four or five smaller ones, I'm like, this is enough for me. You know, like I want a little bit more variety there, I guess.
I actually abused the whole not respawning mechanic a bit because there's one cave, the submerged one, which a lot of people don't know. You can't actually can't take anything other than blue Pikmin because, like, I read the thing and I'm like, okay, it says, you know, the blue Pikmin had trouble, so I'm like, I'll bring other ones. So it's like, oh, you don't actually get the – because it auto-recommends Pikmin for you, right? But you can't actually change it, and a lot of people just didn't try to change it, so they didn't know that they couldn't – they only had to use the blue Pikmin. But that one, when I thought, oh, I haven't beaten all the enemies in this cave, so when I come back, maybe one of the particularly annoying ones won't be there. So then I 100%ed the cave afterwards.
Right,
it was a lot easier.
that's a good strategy. That could work. So we talked about a little bit about the caves. What about the kind of the areas outside of the caves? Like, did you like the variety that you've experienced so far? Do you like those spaces?
The game's gorgeous, for one thing.
It is, like,
beautiful. Yeah, and I mean, I thought that about Pikmin 3 because it was like, the Wii U was my first like HD console, and then when I finally got Pikmin 3, and I'm like, whoa,
yeah,
like the water and stuff. But now this is like so much better, and like you almost can't believe it's on the Switch. You know, I don't bang on the Switch too bad because most of the time I feel like it's a bit, sometimes it's crunchiness, laziness, or different issues that cause it. Like sometimes, like performance wise, it's about the memory capacity, not the graphics. But some of my favorite. Yeah, the water looks so nice. I think I don't know in terms of like actually playing through it, but so far in my mind, what sticks out the most is like the beach one because like the first thing I do was climb up this giant sandcastle, which was kind of more of a hassle because I set up my base there and then I was like, oh, I already grabbed everything.
What else am I going to do up here?
But it's really fun because, like, it's got the halfway through the day, the tide changes up system.
Yeah, it's cool.
Which wasn't as much of a hassle. I don't know if that was going to be a hassle, but it was fine, really.
If you have enough blue Pikmin, it doesn't really matter. Cause like,
and you kind of get them through that area, I think.
Yes.
And one of the other ones I'm up to is the camping ground. It's probably a backyard, but, like, in my head it's, like, camping because it's, like, just these like American trees and a barbecue pit and stuff, but yeah, it's probably just behind the house.
It is set up like a campsite or like you're in the woods or something like that. You've set up a camp.
Visually, I really like that one. Mechanically, I don't know too much. Just turn off water taps mostly. But yeah, I don't think there's any of the areas I would say. Oh, actually, I would say I don't particularly like the house area. That would be the one.
I'm with you there. The house, it seemed like an extended dungeon to me. This internal space where like I just don't find it as interesting. And that part of the beginning of the game where it is kind of tutorial, I was happy to get out of that and not have to go back to that. And I think it's fine if you're in a dungeon space and you know it's contained, you're going to finish it quickly. But when an entire area. Again, this is a spoiler, but one of the last areas is just the same house from before, but you got to do the whole thing. Then it was just a little bit too much. I think I liked the I think they do better with the natural spaces. They look better. Yeah, it just feels more refreshing to be out there.
One of the things too is that it, again, where they people are arguing about what takes place in the timeline and stuff, because it seems like it's possibly before Pikmin 3 somehow, alternate type. But yeah, the thing with humans too, it's like the stove is on. That means there's still gas in the house, and it's like, does that mean humans are still alive and they just happen to not be there for like several days? What does that mean?
or is like the time in the Pikmin universe like slower or something like that? But then you've got the day-night cycle. Right? I don't know.
So it's just like with the other games, at least it's like, you know, stuff sort of scattered around. You know, you think, oh, maybe they're all, like, you don't know where they are. But we're in this one, like you see the house, it kind of makes you think, so they are here still. Likely.
Do you like the day-night cycle, speaking of that? Like, do you like that in these games? Do you wish, you know, there wasn't one, like, or that it's kind of gone away, like the hub area?
If you don't carry, like, the stuff will stay where you left it last. Like, you don't have to go all the, like, if you had partially carry something, it'll stay in that partially carried spot. That's not like some guy who's gonna, aside from, well, I haven't seen the Breg Buds in the overworld, so maybe if they were there, they would steal it, but.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it does kind of feel like you can just kind of pick up where you left off, right? Like the end of a day isn't like, oh my gosh, I need to finish everything by the time the clock strikes midnight, or I'm screwed. Like it doesn't really like that.
Plus, you get like the little sunset look and stuff, so that's nice too. I think one of my other favorite caves was like the Breadbug Cave too, where you had to like. We ended up dragging one. It looked like it was drifting.
Oh gosh, yeah. I really like the outdoor spaces. I think this is up there with, I think this game's up there with Luigi's Mansion 3 is like one of the best looking Switch games, or at least, you know, first party developed Switch games. Like it is, they clearly put a lot of effort into making this a visual or aesthetic experience as much as a gameplay one. And I think, you know, for the type of style of game where it is a little bit slower paced and you can take your time or go fast however you want to play it, I think, you know, it lends itself well to, you know, being a game that is a feast for the eyes. I think this definitely feels like that. Like I loved seeing all the treasures you'd pick up. Like you get all this variety of fruits, and then they'd kind of you'd check off these lists as you'd get them, right? Like you pick up a pool ball or a dice or a playing card or something like that, or a musical instrument, and then you'd see this category, and you'd slowly start to fill up the categories. And it would take a long time to fill them all up, but once you did, you get like a bonus amount of sparkling or whatever. And
picking up all the robot toy pieces, so it finally came together.
Yes, that's right.
My other favorite treasure is obviously all the game stuff. Some of the games don't have English written on them. So I'm like, which what game is that?
All the console peripherals and video games, like the Game Boy Advance, SP, and stuff.
Like the all the Pikmin 4 stuff, I'm like, oh, that wave bird's gonna cost you a bit of money.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's fun. It's kind of cute, like how they, you know, look at their look at themselves. It's a little bit like breaking the fourth wall, sort of, I guess, right? And I like that kind of thing. Pikmin's a series where they obviously don't take it too seriously. Aside from like the Pikmin dying, I mean that's probably one of the most dire thing that happens in the game. And even that is just the little.
Well, I don't know. Have you seen those shorts? I don't see.
Oh, we watch them all the time. My kids love those ones, so it's a little bit different with those ones. But the games themselves, or especially this fourth game, there's a lightness, there's a kind of a levity to them, and I really appreciate that. When, you know, again, we play so many kind of darker or serious RPGs. You know, on one hand, you have like the Dark Souls and the Bloodborne, then you have, you know, Pikmin 4, and it's just you know, it's so like kind of pure, I guess.
It's like, and that's like funny because everyone's talking about I won't go into it, but like one character from the Pikmin series they really don't like,
right?
And it's like everyone's like, oh, you treat this guy like he's a monster. Meanwhile, like there's other characters from Nintendo games that are like war criminals and they're your fave.
That's right.
I think it's just because like everyone's like generally pretty nice in these games, so then you have the one person who's not acting right. Everyone's like, you are the worst.
Yeah, they're like ostracized. Yeah, they're like they're the outcast.
And then you get all this fun stuff like the descriptions, because like, you know, obviously you do eventually save Olimar. So then you not only get the original Treasure Guy's descriptions, but you also get his descriptions of the items. And it's fun to see the different perspectives about what they say. I was sick of finding rubber duckies, though.
Oh, there's a lot of them. rubber duckies and fruits. There's a lot of fruits to go around.
Well, see, I liked the fruits in the third game because then you'd like try and squeeze as much juice out of it as you can.
Oh, yeah. No, the fact that animation of the juice being created and then drinking it and hearing the sound effect, I loved all that. And then it
would drop the frame rate on the
sure.
What's a fun thing is there's only a few, but there's some safes in the game and you need to find the code, and the code's on playing cards.
Yes.
It's not actually the same code. It's like random what cards you get, like it's 1 to 9 or whatever, but like where they are in the game, it's not the same.
Right.
So for me, the second safe, I found the code was 1, 2, 3.
Nice. Yeah. Right on.
And like some people have written up guides and it's like, it's not going to work. Yeah. But you know, you don't know that unless you play the game like twice. So it's hard with stuff like that.
I didn't realize that. Like, yeah, yes, I encountered a few of those saves. I didn't realize that they were individual codes or different. Everyone had
because you know code. You pick up one of each card, but yeah, they're not all in the same thing apparently.
Yeah,
that makes sense. But yeah, I just thought it was funny. I got the 1, 2, 3.
How did you guess that? So one of the biggest changes in this game, because you don't control any other characters like you did in the third game, is Ochi. So what did you think of his inclusion in the game? Did you like him? Did you like the progression that he went through in terms of improving the abilities?
He's perfect. I just don't like that you sort of eventually like you can control him and do other stuff. So that's good. Like you can delegate him sort of a little bit. He's basically another captain almost. So that's, again, my point of frustration with the no co-op, but I do really like him and his systems a fair bit. I think it's funny that his original concept was just going to be like a controllable bulwark or something.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
And it's really funny because they said specifically that was they wanted to make the game a bit more appealing, and then they thought that the bulwark was what was going to make it.
Sure, right.
I'm glad that they realized dog was a bit.
Let's put fur on him, make him a little cuter, make him very helpful. Yeah.
And one thing I noticed, because I posted a picture of, obviously not Nintendo dogs themselves, because they're just dogs, but like a lot of Nintendo dogs don't have noses. Like, Ochi's, like, they've got the snout, but not the nose. Yes. Like, Ochi doesn't have one. Polterpup doesn't have one. Obviously, Chain Chomp doesn't have one. And there was like a fourth one. Oh, yeah, Poochie. Yeah. And they just.
That's so funny. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. It's like one of the distinguishing features of a dog, and they do.
That's right. Yeah, but it's okay. We still know that they're all a dog because they have some kind of, you know, they have something in their name, you know, like Ochi instead of Poochie or Polterpup. He's got pup there. I found myself constantly riding Ochi. Like I would always, as soon as I had that ability to hop on his back and then just ride him around the stage, I would do that. As if to keep everyone organized and together. Yeah. And then it made sense. Obviously, if you're going in the water, you want to travel with all your Pikmin on your back in the water. Yeah.
Except
do that.
For like everyone that got played by the trailer stuff, because it showed Poochie ferrying, and you have to play like 3 days or whatever before he'll actually do that.
Yes, that's right. You don't get like, that right away.
He has to not be scared of water. And so a bunch of us like just started drowning because we'd seen the other stuff in the game.
I didn't realize. Oh, that's an upgrade. He doesn't just come with that. He's not super brave right away.
And they keep telling me off for scaring Ochi, and it's just like...
I thought it was so funny how you could increase his power up to 100, and he's just like, and he goes from dragging like these really heavy objects, like a watermelon or something, to at some point he can swallow them. They gain an ability for him to just swallow them.
It's so funny
to see him swallow these huge items and can't transport them back to the base.
But I mostly save splitting up for like the caves or something.
Yeah, I did. I didn't do that very much.
Dendori battles. What did you think about Dendori battles?
Oh yeah, gosh, I'm glad you brought this up. I love them actually. All the Dandori stuff I really liked, whether it was the battle or just the timed to try to find all the treasures in the timeline. I like both.
When I find a treasure the last second, and I'm like,
of course, yeah. I would do them over again if I thought like I could get the platinum medal or whatever, or if I did a bad run.
When you like rescue one of the people, you can just do the challenges back from the hub.
Yes, that's right. Yes, yes.
So you don't have to like hold all the way. So you can redo ones that you didn't do so good on.
Yeah, but really, I want to still go back and get a platinum on all of those. They're really fun.
I know. I like platinum on the first one, like in the last 3 seconds, because then when like it's that last like the second countdown, they're dragging her back, and you're like, come on.
Oh yeah. Did you like the battles better? Or the treasure ones better?
I said treasure better. I didn't.
Okay.
The battles had me when they're in the show. I was really worried about, you know, that being necessary to progress the story.
Yeah, sure.
It is. I was just, the first few I had sort of trouble with. Obviously I haven't finished the game, so I know some more, but like eventually I was like completely stomping on all of them.
Yeah, same here.
And the last one with him, he's like constantly trying to bomb you.
And oh, yeah, no, right?
Right, so I just kept charging and that stopped it. So I feel like I by that point I was like, I wasn't really barely collecting anything. I was just trying to stop the bomb, but like eventually got it sent over to him because it was like barely getting past himself. Yeah. So I had over 100 points more.
I mean, I found Ochi was particularly helpful in some of those situations, right? Like, whether that's, you know, getting an item or harassing the other team or something like that, like, using Ochi well in those Dandori battles was pretty pivotal, I thought.
And then just started adding the random item thing, and then, like, you'd get Glow Pikmin in those, and I was like, ah, sweet,
yeah, that's right.
I can get the stuff out of the water now. So I sort of liked it a bit better, but that's sort of been why I probably haven't continued, because I've heard the next the next few I've got to do are a bit tougher, and I'm like,
yeah. Some of the I'm trying to think of how many Dandori battles there are in total.
Like one per area, basically.
Yeah. So about in the 6 to 8 range, I think, in total by the end of the game, and I think that the ones in the latter half of the game, I think I had to try some of those a couple times to get through them, but. The first ones I just flew through. The AI gets a little bit smarter. You see the Dandori rating underneath the title of the area when they get up to like 4 or 5, they are a little bit more tricky. You find the AI is a little bit more aggressive and constantly trying to like battle you to collect things back or to kind of get in your way and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so.
And it was like initially I'm just, you know, trying to mind my business, but just kept trying to attack me, and it's like, okay, my Ochi's better than
like you're not getting any points from doing this either, you know? Like this isn't helping you.
It's just causing trouble. Having to practice the art of management and strategizing. I think it's really funny because I think it is specifically like a word that sort of means a couple of things, so that's why they, you know, didn't translate it.
Sure.
But it's just sort of funny because sometimes like it's from them and they're from Japan, so it's okay. But you know, it's kind of funny when sometimes people are like, oh, I learned this country's form of this, and it's just like a normal thing, and they're just using the word for it. So like, it comes across as that, but it is technically sort of like a separate concept. So it's just funny that it's like just this Japanese word, and then like the rest of it has been translated into English, and that's what things are called. And everyone's saying like Dandori issue and stuff.
Some of the later treasure ones are really, really tough, actually. Like you have to, you know, not that I was like ever paying much attention to them talking about, you know, Dandori and all the tips and things like this and how to manage and do good Dandori. I'm like, yeah, just let me play the stage. But some of the later ones are really, really like devilishly tricky. Like even just to get a bronze, I was going to the last second. I'm like, okay, I really need to think about how I would improve this one and split people up and, you know, send Ochi away and stuff like that. Like, I managed to get by most of them without doing kind of that crazy manipulation. But later on, I think if you want to get the high scores, you really do have to do that.
Yeah, I had a couple where I like did so bad. Like one, I just had to retry a few times. And then again, I forgot that I had Ochi. So Ochi could take the watermelon again. Like, yes, I didn't need to like get all the... Yeah. I mean, like,
don't you need 100 Pikmin just to carry the watermelon.
Yeah, you don't need to like get to the part where the purple Pikmin were.
Yes, that's right.
But... we still lost by like 2 seconds to get the platinum, though, by one item, wasn't it? Was like,
it hurts. It stings. You're so close. You're like, oh,
yeah, a couple. Like I went into and I was just like, oh my god! Like there was like a pool one or something, and I did really bad. And I only just like cleared bronze because I was just like, half the Pikmin can't do anything. And then I found like a drain. And I was like, oh my! It was like right at the start. I'm like, oh. So that's the point. You can just like redo it. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the nice thing is, like, these challenges, they're in, like, the 5 to 10 minute range. There's not a lot of time. You don't feel, like, super defeated if it doesn't work out. And even if however you fail, whether you fail entirely or you, like, you don't get the medal you're looking for, you will know after that, like, what you could have done better almost every time, right? Or you'll notice, like, oh, here's a thing that I didn't even notice. Like, I have to go, I must have just missed it or didn't see it, or I have to explore a little bit more. Like, it's very easy to feel good about yourself even in failure, because you know what to do the next time pretty much. Right. And so I think they're, for that reason, like they're these micro challenges that are very satisfying, however they end up going. Yeah, Dendori was an excellent addition to the game. I'd love to see more of that going forward.
I did see some complaints about, like, because of the Dendori, sort of, like, you've got the mission mode sort of in the game and the battles in the game, but, like, the amount of stages in that for using a multiplayer isn't that many, and visually all the Dendori battles are in this toy box type.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, I haven't dabbled in that multiplayer at all, so I didn't even see how many stages there were in the Dendori multiplayer.
And that's, I think, again, why, like, the co-op not being this kind of sad, because, like, oh, if I want to do Dendori battles against someone, like, they're going to have to go play Pikmin themselves first to get, you know, to have a fair shot against all the controls and stuff.
I was wondering if this game was going to get DLC, because Pikmin 3 got DLC. Right? One to two or three packs or something like that?
Yeah, it was like the mission packs and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's like what the Christmas level is on and stuff. Like, I used, before, I think when they first switched to My Nintendo, and then it was like you could use, before gold points were used for money.
Right.
I got DLC, the Mario Kart.
Yeah, I remember this.
And
yep,
the Pikmin DLC, at least maybe not Mario, but like one of the DLCs, like Pikmin DLC for the points, so I didn't have to actually pay for it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember buying digital games, even eShop games on 3DS,
like 40% off or something like
that. Yeah, they had coupons too. It wouldn't shock me if this game, because it's selling incredibly well in Japan. I think it's around 700,000 copies after what, five or six weeks here. And so it'll be, you know, in the millions worldwide. Probably not as strong outside of Japan, but I think it bodes well for the series future. But it wouldn't shock me if we got DLC for this game either, like as a way to pad out 2014, a year where there's potentially another Switch console, a new Switch console coming. Having DLC to kind of like stem that tide a little bit is something Nintendo's done before.
You can't. People nowadays almost expect DLC, and especially Nintendo, like you can't guarantee that at all. Like,
No, you can't.
I think Breath of the Wild, they announced DLC before like the game came out, so you had like you bought the pass and you got the shirt.
They had the season pass, yeah.
Right, but Tears of the Kingdom, I'm pretty sure they haven't announced that they're doing DLC. People are just assuming they are.
Well, it's funny, right? Like, I don't think anyone expected Mario Kart 8 Deluxe DLC, and they did that after years, right?
No,
and then Tears of the Kingdom, I was kind of expecting it because Breath of the Wild had it, and so we haven't heard anything about that. I think they still haven't. Might.
But it's like they haven't actually said, and people are just assuming they are. And a lot of people want Mario Party Superstars to have DLC. There wasn't any DLC, but you know, then again, Mario Kart had this massive for the Switch version. What 4 or 5 years before we found out there's going to DLC? That's ridiculous.
I mean, Mario Party not getting DLC is almost as ridiculous as Mario Kart getting it. Right? Like those two things are the opposite. Like, no, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe already has like the extra content from the Wii U version. We don't need anything else more. Like, it just gives a new Mario Kart. But
Captain Toad got DLC. Like,
that's right.
Yep. After the Switch port, like it wasn't immediately. It was a bit later. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You just don't know if they. But yeah, and it's
I think Fire Emblem is like the only series where you're like, you know, there's going to be DLC.
Yes.
Right? that will be until the end of time. Even if it's a remake or a re-release, a port, whatever, it's going to get DLC.
Unless they're already selling you a season pass or whatever. Yeah, we don't know. Yeah. So it's really funny. People are like, oh, this is going to get DLC. And it's like,
it'd be cool if Pikmin 4 did get some of the better aspects from Pikmin 3. Like if it did have a mission mode or it did have better co-op or something like that. I don't think they need to add any more single player really. I think if they're going to add anything, maybe focus on multiplayer because that's the part that seems to be lacking a little bit more here. And there's just so much single player content that we don't really need more of it, I would say.
Yeah. I don't think it necessarily needs it. Maybe like some updates for like, multiplayer modes or like what you said, but not necessarily that they should sell it to us, but
free or otherwise. Hey, I'll take it. But can we, in moving to the kind of final verdict part of the podcast, can we talk a little bit about where we think Pikmin 4 fits in the series? Like how do you compare it against the other three?
Sorry, I thought you meant story-wise, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Well, it doesn't have the co-op, so I guess, you know, I can't say it's good as three, can I? But like probably I mean, like I said, I haven't really played two, but like probably better than Pikmin 1.
Yeah.
But Pikmin 1 is different. It's got this sort of time element.
That it is different.
It actually, the time actually matters. The pathfinding AI in it is so bad. Because Pikmin 4, it's so good. In Pikmin 4, they're like, they're going all the way around some things that I would have thought I'm going to have to get them. Because like, that's unreasonable. And like, no, they did. It's just like, meanwhile,
you just
like,
whistle and they come no matter where they are, as opposed to like, oh, there's like a little barrier blocking you. Like you can see me. I can see
there's
you.
Like there's a bump.
Yeah, there's a bump in the road. Yeah, there's a little hill.
They're more like ants in that game, I guess.
Sure.
Something's in their way. They don't know where to go.
Are you planning on playing Pikmin 2 at some point in the near future or no?
Well, I think I'm getting that double pack physically. I mean, I already
Point. I downloaded it, but I needed a Pikmin break. I did one before 4, and now I've been playing a little bit of 3 with my son, but I'm not going to play Pikmin 2 this year. I need to.
And I was like too impatient for Pikmin 4 after the demo, and then I got like Pikmin 1 digitally, even though I'm already getting the physical and I already, you know, I didn't need. Yeah. But it was mostly spent in like, I had a ton of gold points, so it was just like, I technically didn't pay much for it, so it's sort of okay.
Yeah, good call. Well, I was like, oh, that's a pretty decent discount if you get the package. I was like, okay, I might as well get both, because at some point I'm going to want to play these games, right? So,
And then, you know, I kind of justify triple dipping and stuff with like, oh, you know, I'm planning on having a couple kids at least. And then, you know, if all my kids want to play Banjo-Kazooie, they can all play it at the same time. Like, they don't have to fight with the other version or something like, you know.
Just forward. I like this justification of you double, triple dipping. That's good. It's good to have excuses for why you've done this.
Well, brought the Banjo up particularly because, like, I had my own copy, and then I got one from someone else, and then I accidentally bought another copy because I didn't think I had it. So I've got 3 N64 copies. So I joked that that's Banjo 3. And then, you know, it's on the Switch Online. And I think I got it off the 360 store because it was like $5 or something.
Someone would think, like, you're the biggest Banjo-Kazooie fan. Oh, I just have to have every single version of this game I can find. I've got 10 copies of Banjo-Kazooie. I've got the most in the world. Like, you're a collector exclusively of Banjo-Kazooie.
I mean, it is my Halloween costume I do this year.
That's nice. I like that.
Because I want to be Banjo and the baby can be Kazooie.
Nice. And that's only going to work. Well, I guess you could do it with future babies as this one gets older, and then they kind of graduate to, you know, one of the other characters in the game or something like bottles or something like that.
Otherwise, you know, just do Kangaskhan, I guess.
That's classic. That works.
Last year she was only a week before Halloween, so there's no getting dressed up or anything.
So you kind of like 3 a little bit better, or you'd rank it a little bit higher maybe because the co-op?
It's just because like that's got the co-op and some of the, but like I really do like 4. So like it is technically above 3. It's just
It's just a bummer that the co-op's not as good. Yeah, fair.
Because I would have liked it, and I would have been like, it's the best game ever.
I think that's totally valid. Like the fact that the co-op was so fun in 3, it is a shame to not have it here. So yeah, hopefully that does come down the pipe in DLC, paid or otherwise. For me, I think Pikmin 4 is the best game. And I really like 3, and I want to go back and play that story again as well. But I just thought that there's so much here. It's just brimming with content. There's just so much to do. Like the Olimar kind of side story that you unlock in the second half of the game, it's almost like a mini Pikmin 1. Like you're collecting like 15 ship parts. You have to do it within a certain number of days. Like it's like a miniature version of the first game. And like to have that as just like extra content in this game, I just kind of blew me away. I'm like, this is in here. Like I could replay this, try to get a better time or something like that. Like
I saw that it was like just, you know, reusing the maps but moving stuff around, and I thought it would be like, obviously they put a Pikmin 1 too, so they wouldn't have done it, but imagine if they literally had just put Pikmin.
That would have been so funny. Yeah. I mean, Nintendo used to do that, right? They used to give you old games inside of new ones, right? Like Animal Crossing on GameCube having like access to all these NES games. Like, I wish Nintendo still did stuff like that, but they've kind of got moved away from it.
Pokemon Gold having like a crunched up version of like the previous region.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love that stuff.
So I thought that would have been really funny, but obviously it wasn't that. Really cool.
It's a pretty good facsimile of it, but it's definitely not the exact same thing.
Well, because it's like an alternate sort of story, because like he didn't call out a distress signal or anything. I don't know if this is supposed to be his first time on the planet, or it's just he can't remember very well because of the constant crash landings, but you know,
yeah, exactly.
In the original,
he's had more than one
co-worker
concussion,
wasn't
at least
there until Pikmin 2, you know, yeah. Like he didn't meet him until after the end of the first game. So
what I like is that after having because I played the first game before getting to that content in Pikmin 4, it was like it was a nice kind of comparison between the two. Like, oh, you know, look at how much better the controls, the gameplay is in 4. And then you're kind of it's kind of nerfed a little bit when you do this Olimar component of the game. It's like, oh, we've kind of taken stuff away from you. You know, can you work within this more bare bones type of framework? And so I like that.
I know a lot of people complaining about the difficulty being very low in this game.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of people talk, then you get to the post-game stuff, like the Olimar Challenge, some of the trials or something, which I guess
is
some of the Dandori stuff. And they're like, oh, it's this is where the hard stuff is.
Yeah, the hard game, it's a lot harder than post-game for sure. Yeah. The first four stages are kind of a cakewalk in comparison, which I don't mind. Like, it's nice. It's a laid-back type of game. Like, it's I think it's kind of meant to be
it's
like
really
that.
It's really funny, actually, that the marketing sort of been trying to call it like a crazy game, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Not really.
Not like, when you sacrifice 100 Pikmin hard. Because they're not fire resistant,
like,
or something.
It's not super
you know?
Hard, but like you still got to do the versus modes. Like it's just because like the whole cruiser game thing's been such like a big trending term for a couple of years
now. Oh, for sure.
And so many people put themselves in these boxes talking about them that they try to bring up other games as crazy, and I'm like, they're not really.
there is a coziness to this game, but it is not a cozy game, right? You can see elements of like. Or the feelings you get when you play a cozy game, some of those are here, right? In terms of like the collect-a-thon kind of element of it, right? The going back to the base and kind of just talking to people and chilling out there, getting missions. Things. There are elements of it for sure. But means would I call this a cozy game.
And then I walk into a floor of a cave where there's two miniature versions of the final boss from the first game, and then it is very not cozy.
No, not in the slightest. No, it's definitely like a special brand of real-time strategy, and I do like it very much. I think this is a stellar game. I think in a year of must-play games, I think it is still one of them. I think it could easily make a fan out of people, or a fan of Pikmin out of people who've never really experienced it before. And I think the demo gives you a pretty good sense of what you're in for as well. So anyone who hasn't played this game but listen to the episode, you know, listen to us, you know, talk about the things we like about it, like absolutely try out the demo. And I don't think you need to start with Pikmin 1, 2, or 3. I think you could easily start with this one and then go back.
I feel like it's designed to be started with, really, because it's I don't know, like I said, I don't know entirely if it's just a retcon or alternate timeline, but it's very much like you don't need to know what happens in any of the other games.
The story of these games has never really been that important. Right.
Although a lot of people were sort of like the ending of 3, they're like, oh, finally, we're going to, you know, after the next one, we'll find out what all this mysterious stuff is. And then they were like, no.
No, you won't.
This isn't me a murder game. We don't want to have
anything. Psych, Maybe if you buy Pikmin 5, you will.
Yeah. But I've just lost my train of thought again. You continue.
That's what you get for bringing up Miyamoto.
He's cursed me.
I think we'll wrap up here. We're approaching an hour. And I think this was a good talk. I think Pikmin 4 is great. Again, a year of big releases. I wouldn't sleep on this one. Even if you've been into some of the bigger games around it, you know, like Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 16. I know this game came out, Pikmin 4 came out around that time or just after, but it's certainly one you don't want to miss, especially if you like, you know, kind of Nintendo developed games. Ones that are a little bit lighter in tone for sure, but also have just lots of fun things to do. It definitely scratches that kind of need to kind of collect everything and 100% every area. And I'm not always like that, but there are some games where I do like to do that, and Pikmin feels like a good place for that.
Which was a point of contention when I forgot to do the dog sniffing. That's the one thing I haven't redeemed was the treasure sniffer, because I'm like, I don't want beeping. So I literally haven't.
I only did it very seldom, only when I had like, you know, 90%+ in a level. I'm like, oh, what did I miss? And if sure enough, it was always something like buried in the ground that I probably wasn't gonna be able to see on my own.
But I remembered what I was thinking about before. So like, when it comes to series where it's like, oh, is this a good game to jump into, and a lot of time, unless there's not many where the stories really go in together, unless you're playing like Legends of Heroes or something, but like, but most of the time the answer is yes. Unless you want to play the other games in the series, and then going back might be really hard. But like, if you're limited,
yeah.
But if you're limited for time or budget, you know, and you just want to play a Pikmin game, then yeah, you pay this. But like, yeah, there's some games where it's like, it's just, you know, you find out you like this and you want to play more, you're going to have to deal with the fact that the other ones are going to be like more frustrating.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I had this experience with like Witcher 3, for example. Like, I hadn't played Witcher 1 or 2, but I played 3 and loved it. And then I went back to 1 and 2 on like a different platform, like like from an Xbox, Xbox One to Xbox 360 kind of deal. And I'm like, it's not really the charm is, but something's missing here, right? It's not the same.
I think I tried playing Witcher 1 and I just didn't get the controls because there's some of these old CRPGs where it's like, not kind of real time, sort of.
Yeah.
I just didn't really understand what I was doing.
No, I think that's totally fair. And I don't always think that you need to go back. And I think you can just play the newest one and know that they've evolved. They've built on it, right? They've taken, often these developers take what they've learned from, you know, the earlier games and make it better in the next game, right? And so I think Pikmin 4 is pretty good evidence of that, even if there are some rough edges or things we would like to improve on. I think the overall package is incredibly solid. We'll close off here. I wanted to let people know we've got another 5-hour trial game coming up, Dungeon Encounters. If anyone wants to try that with us, we're going to hope to record that soon. We're going to be working on a Sea of Stars crossover episode with Talk Nintendo podcast. Probably sometime in September. There's good games coming out in September as well, like Starfield. I think David will be playing that. I don't know. Paige, are you playing Starfield?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I want to play it, but probably not at launch.
See when it comes out.
Yeah.
I
am curious about the reviews for sure.
I did test out the cloud streaming on my TV, and it's definitely not for 3D games because the frame rate will make me motion sick, but maybe 2D games.
Yeah.
Which
definitely not for Starfield.
That's what I'm trying to figure out for Sea of Stars, because I do really want it on my Switch, but then I have to pay 50 bones for it.
Yes, that's right.
Versus like paying, you know, the Game Pass for the month or upgrading my PlayStation subscription. So it's just like,
yeah. It is pretty cool that Sea of Stars is coming to the subscription services. I think that's probably a good call. Get more people's eyes on it. So stay tuned for episodes like those. If you have other recommendations for 5-hour games, doesn't have to be an RPG, but just, you know, longer games that where we can kind of give an idea of after 5 hours we want to continue, let us know. You can email david@thethirstymage.com. You can leave us a review on your podcast app with a comment, something like that would be great. We're on Spotify as well. I think that'll wrap us up for this evening. So I want to thank Paige for joining me. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening, and hope you have a great evening.